Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Hey, are you looking to expand and grow your business? Are you looking for that edge, that next step up, that paradigm shift? Well, one of the best ways to get you there is through a mentor or a coach. And today's sponsor, Trevor McGregor, he is the man. He's going to get you to be laser focused, to get you onto that next level. And I know from experience dealing with Trevor, he is a master coach, peak performance coach, well over 10,000 coaching hours through clients all over the world. And he helps you achieve better health, more wealth and freedom and contribution than you ever thought possible. Have that coach that holds your feet to the fire. Go on to Trevor's website, coachwithtrevor.com. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. And there you can get a free strategy session with Trevor. And you can decide if he's the right fit for you and you're the right fit for him. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. You will not be disappointed. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and I'm excited for another great episode. With me is MC Laubscher, and he's with the Cash Flow Ninja and Valhalla Wealth Financial. So MC is a wealth strategist, educator, financial freedom fighter. He's the president and CEO of Valhalla Wealth Financial, creator and host of the popular business and investing podcast, The Cash Flow Ninja. And I'll let MC take it from there. MC, I appreciate having being on this show and taking your time out of the day. So why don't you tell our guests a little bit more about you?
Yeah, Todd, thank you so much for having me on. So I'm originally from South Africa, so the accent is not Pennsylvanian. So I came here in 2001, a backpack, maybe a one suitcase, $500, a sense of humor and a sense of adventure. Traveled quite a bit. I ended up playing in a sports league, a city-based rugby league that was nationally here. And that's kind of how I ended up in the United States. While I was pursuing my career in sports, I always loved history and economics and reading throughout university and high school. But I came across, while I was traveling for sports, this purple book that my mom gave to me as a gift, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that kind of took me down that rabbit hole of wealth creation, looking and studying at what successful people have done through the ages of creating wealth, and not only creating it, but passing it on to the next generation and growing it with every single generation. So I really started to kind of get obsessed with reading up on about it and studying it. And, you know, the one thing leads to the next one, right? You read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then all of a sudden you're reading The Creature from Jekyll Island with Mr. G. Edward Griffin and so forth. So this was fantastic stuff, and I was really excited. I jumped straight into it and purchased my first property a year out of university, and that's when my schooling really began as an investor. While I was playing sports as well, I came across a friend that became a mentor, and I was not smart enough to figure out you needed a mentor at that stage. It just kind of happened by accident. This particular friend was part of a family that they had an enormous real estate portfolio. They've amassed wealth over about three generations, and he was doing his best in growing and expanding this as well. And that kind of gave me a ringside seat to what goes on and how wealthy families think, what they do, how they create wealth, how they structure it, and all the other various and different things around it. So it was very, very, it was just absolutely insightful, learned quite a lot, and saw the systems and processes that they built that encompassed many moving parts and different financial products that positioned them to give them more control over it, to position them against wealth destroyers such as taxes, inflation, and so forth. So, but yeah, as you mentioned, that was kind of like how I got into it. Growing in a little bit further from there, to where I am today. I have a wealth management firm where I share and teach a lot of these strategies that I just spoke about. I help folks build their wealth outside of Wall Street. So utilizing different products and also real estate being an avenue. And then I'm the creator and host of the Cashflow Ninja podcast, where folks come on my show weekly to talk about how to create cash flow from income streams and income streams from investments, from real estate businesses, and all these other different asset classes.
Cool. That's great. So you came from South Africa. It seems like there's a lot of people that, you know, immigrants that come from a different country, come into the US, and they really do well. They go from, and a lot of them have the same type of story. They came over here with a backpack and, you know, they had a few bucks. They're just basically scraping by, where and they go from that to now doing really well from themselves, being very successful, where you've got somebody that lives in the US, grew up in the US, had the education in the US, they've had all the opportunities, their parents had money, gave them money, all that kind of stuff, and they don't get to that next level. So talk a little bit about maybe your philosophy, if you have one, behind the difference, behind that.
Yeah, the immigrant mindset is a strange one. I think one of the things that struck me, traveling quite a bit and then coming to the United States, is the upward mobility that is available to people in the United States. And I don't think that people that live in the United States understand how fortunate they are to live in a country with such upward mobility. You can literally come here with nothing, which many folks have done, and really create a life for themselves, their children, their children's children, and their children, children's children's children, right? Generations of that. Yeah. You pick a story. There's entrepreneurs coming from war-torn nations coming over here and building $100 million companies within 2 to 3 years. You have folks that they come out of, a lesser advantaged communities and projects, right? And they mass and build companies that serve and provide value for a lot of folks. So you could literally come here with nothing. And a lot of people are born here with nothing and they create an amazing life for themselves. So I just wanted to say that, because I don't think people quite realized that being and living in the United States, how privileged you are in being able to pursue and really try to become everything that you want to be and that you dream of being. And that's the one thing that really struck me when I was in the United States. When you come from, for instance, the old world too, in Europe, there's a lot of hierarchical structures there. So here it's you come to play, you deliver value for others, you invest in yourself, your mindset, your own skill sets, yeah. And continue to grow, and the sky's the limit. When it comes to wealth creation over generations as well, is one thing that I've learned from very, very successful and wealthy individuals is they think long term. You know, we start to think shorter and smaller, not just in terms of the size, but the time period, because we live in a world where we all basically have the attention span of a gnat. We want everything basically now, right? But taking a very long-term range view, very successful and wealthy families that have not only made their money but maintained their money for generations think very, very long range. And the financial decisions that they make and the investing decisions today, they think how that would affect the next generation and, yeah. you know, two generations down there. So, and the way that, from a mindset perspective as well, is not only do they educate their children, because their children get a different education. And that's what I say to a lot of folks. This is not taught in public schools and even some of the private schools. And that's where parents, it's your responsibility to still be the main cog in the education of your children. They receive that at home, and then also they learn values and principles and have these guidelines passed on to them, so that when they do get the family fortune or become in possession of this family fortune that's built up, they're great and amazing stewards of this capital, and then they expand it. So some families, you know, a lot of people look at the Rockefeller family, for instance, which the Rockefeller family office model is sort of a wealth management and planning model that a lot of these very, very wealthy families now use. They've kept it to the family money, quote unquote, together. And they're absolutely a great example of these values and principles and guidelines passed down from generations to generations to keep on growing this family fortune.
Yeah. I mean, I just love hearing the story of the immigrant, you know, with the backpack coming in here and just doing great, you know, and because it just shows you when people from here, people that were born here, complain that, you know, I didn't get $1 million loan from, you know, I hear it so many times with Donald Trump when he was running for president, you know, he got whatever, $1 million or $2 million or whatever it was, loan from his dad. And people are like, oh, if I got that, if only I got that. And it's like, you know, it's, there's so many people that have came before you and that are going to come after you that have started with zero that are so much farther ahead than you. What's your excuse? And that's just it. It's just an excuse from people that, you know, complain about not having it all from the beginning.
Right. And it's the victim mentality too. Yeah. That's highly encouraged in society today, which drives me absolutely insane. And the reason that everybody's encouraged to be a victim is people with low self-esteem that's demoralized and are taught that they're victims for whatever reason are people that tend to buy products. And it's very profitable for companies and people to have this massive amount of people feel that they're victims, because they're going to stuff drugs into their bodies to make themselves feel better. And I'm not even talking about illegal drugs. I'm just talking about legal over-the-counter drugs. They're going to buy whatever you want to sell them with, and to make themselves feel better because they're low self-esteem, they're demoralized. You know, I think if you switch that around and you become truly empowered, you don't need all the things that you want to stuff in your house and sell storage spaces and all these other things. So I completely agree with you. And I think it's just excuses too, because again, you can make money, in any asset class, right? And money can be made a lot of different ways. And you just touched upon people handing money to other folks. How many lottery winners go bankrupt?
Yeah.
And how quickly do they go bankrupt? So the big thing is it's not the money. You know, and you pointed out President Donald Trump. It wasn't the money that made him rich. He grew up and also being a very determined person, but the other things that around him, investing in himself, the education, and then the principles and the guidelines that he received, that if there's a sum of money coming into his possession, he's going to be a steward of that capital and then expand it. And that's what these wealthy families do, where we see time and time again, these lottery winners going bankrupt or, you know, being out of money basically in less than 18 months. And it's just because they didn't have the mindset, they didn't have the guidelines, the principles and the values to be in charge of this massive amount of money that just came their way.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us a little bit more about what is, you know, Valhalla Wealth, What does that business do and focus on?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, the tagline is building your wealth outside of Wall Street. So how we do that is, you know, and I'll just give you an overrun of the value that we provide for our clients is our clients are busy professionals. They're entrepreneurs, they're investors, they're small business owners. And what we do is we try to figure out first exactly what they want. There's a wealth formula that we teach. And it sounds so simple. What do they want? But if you think about it, if the listeners are out there listening to this, has anybody asked you in your planning or putting together a wealth plan really what you want? Do you know what you want? Are you specific what you want? Are you clear exactly what you want? Because it involves a lot of different things. When it comes to businesses, what does your life look like, right? How many hours a day do you work? What does your family life look like? Where do you live? What's the size of your house? What's the quality of your life? What's the quality of your relationships? These are all things that you have to be very crystal clear on in designing your life. So you got to start there. And then you and I have discussed the next point. What's your why? So why do you want that? Because why does it matter? Yeah, you know, I want X, Y, and Z, but why does it matter? Because if it doesn't matter and it's not important to you, then it's not something that you're going to follow through on. I'll give you a personal example. One of the things that was really important to myself was I wanted a independent location business. Location independence was huge for me. And my big why is I'm from South Africa. I have family and friends there. So if I want to go to South Africa for a month or 2 or 3 weeks to visit family and friends, I still want to be able to do my business. So that's just a quick example of exactly designing your life. And then the third portion of it is, why does it, who do I need to become? Because the person that I need to become to achieve that vision most likely isn't sitting there right now. And I set my goals, you know, weekly, monthly, and annually. And I can tell you from personal experience, when I look at my goals, the person that is usually sitting there needs to become someone else to be able to achieve those goals. And then once you're crystal clear on that, there's a wealth formula that we teach, and it's basically your mental capital times your relationship capital equals financial capital, and that turns around into cash flow. And then we create processes and systems to help you achieve that cash flow. Now, your mental capital, you're your number one asset, no one else. You're the creator of cash flow in your life. You're the producer of everything that comes into your life. You need to continually invest and develop that mental capital and high income skills. High income skill is a skill that's required to solve a problem that other people find valuable. A lot of people have skills. The amount of financial capital that you're going to end up with is the high income skill. And then we talk about the relationship part of it is, again, who are the people that you're surrounding yourself with? That impacts your thinking and your life. So who are your closest five people, right? Jim Rohn talks about that. And then who is your network? Your network equals your net worth. Are you going to join networking meetups? Are you going to expand that network? What strategic partnerships can you get to, right? From a business perspective, who already has my audience that I can form a strategic partnership with and provide value for them and then go after them to pursue and grow my business? So it has to be obviously an equal value exchange as well. And Tim Ferriss talks about your tribe of mentors. Who's your tribe of mentors? Who do you want to be and who do you want to become? Who has already achieved success in the arena that you're at? Those are the folks that you need to study and look at. And that's going to get you to your financial capital and then turning that into cash flow. So when we plan, for instance, Todd, if somebody wants to create $10,000 of cash flow per month, which is $120,000 per year, if then we take a step back and just for easy math, let's just say consistently someone can produce a 12% return. Well, we know there's $1 million of financial capital that's required to be able to generate that return. So yeah, the processes and systems then that we put into play to help them achieve that and get to that, we look at the liquidity part of it, which we use high cash value life insurance with, based on the infinite banking model and There's many reasons that we do that, because there's full control over it. There's tax-free growth. You can leverage your cash value to then put into your second system, which is your income system, multifamily syndications, mobile home parks, turnkey real estate, and so forth. And then for some of our accredited investor clients, there's also a growth system that we build for them, which there's also other vehicles outside of Wall Street, like, for instance, life settlements, which big banks and financial institutions love, but the general public don't really know about. They've done really, really well for us there. But the whole thing encompassing this then, and a system that kind of is like an octopus with tentacles into all of these different areas, is a legacy. You know, we create this, we build this, we have goals, but how do we keep it, protect it, and then transfer it over to the next generation to continue to multiply it? So that's kind of just an overview of what we do and how we work with clients. So we get very, very specific and drill down into these, because, you know, it's the small things and the little things that make all the big difference, right? So you have to be crystal clear on exactly what it is you're looking to achieve. Otherwise, we're throwing a bunch of spaghetti up on a wall and hoping some of it sticks, right?
Well, you're acting like the normal, no offense to those who are financial advisor. A lot of times, and now the good ones don't do this, but a lot of them tell you what you want. You know, I mean, right. Sit down with them, and this is where you go, and this is your path, and this is, you know, you want to retire when you're 65. Well, this is what you need to do. And that's about the conversation they have. They don't have this in-depth conversation as you're talking about, where you're really digging in. I mean, you mentioned a lot of different things that you're really digging into these people and trying to figure out what you need to do and all these tentacles and how you can help them. So I really like that idea, and kind of more of a, definitely more of a service, a full service financial plan for your clients.
Yeah, because I look at it too that, for instance, if you want to lose weight, right, and you want to get healthy, and you go to someone, and a personal trainer tells you, "All right, I'll work you out, and you got to lift this, and you got to run this, and do that." Could you lose weight? I mean, if you're just sitting on the couch and eating potato chips, yeah, you're gonna see some results. You're gonna see some differences, but what's the holistic approach to that? There's a lot more into your health than just going to a gym and a personal trainer telling you what to do for 30 minutes to an hour per day. Yeah. What do you eat? Yeah. How do you sleep? How do you hydrate? What's your stress levels? What's your work situation? What's your home situation? Family situation? You know, or then how active are you? You know, do you sit in a cubicle for 8 to, you know, 14 to 15 hours a day? All that kind of stuff. So when people look at that, they say, "Oh yeah, that makes sense." But when it comes to money, you know, everybody wants the personal trainer for 30 minutes a day and get it over with, right? Yeah. It's the quick fix. And to your point, the biggest reason why a lot of people struggle financially the first one I would say is that there's a very small percentage of people that are building wealth and amassing wealth, right? Very 1%, less than 1%, truly legacy sustainable wealth. Then why are the majority of people doing what 99% of people are doing and listening to the financial experts and the people that these people get their advice from and following that if it's not working, right? So the big point is those people that are doing it, they're not just doing the same thing that other people are doing, only better. You know, they're not doing what everybody else is doing and doing a little bit better. They're doing something completely different. And you mentioned financial advisors. I mean, there's an industry for you with Wall Street. The whole thing is cash flow as investors. You talk about cash flow too and focus on cash flow. The reason why Wall Street is focusing on accumulation and not cash flow and taking your money for 20 to 35 years and then giving it to you is because they want your money. They want it on a regular basis. They want to keep it as long as they possibly can. They want to leverage it and make the money. So, you know, there's two sides, three sides of every coin. You got to look at what's on the other side of the coin. And are you working with someone, or just not even if you're working with someone, are you focused on your wealth where you want to go with your family? Or is it someone else's game and someone else's plan that was sold to you and hamster wheel that you're on currently?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And I mean, people have to really dig into that. And like you said, you're asking them those deep questions, and you really have to dig into it. Where do you want to be? And what do you want to do? And then you can figure out what to do to take you there.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about, I like to ask what some of your biggest mistakes were. So if you've got, you know, one big mistake that you've made, and how did you learn from that mistake?
I would say, and sum up all my mistakes, and there have been many, because I was a complete Muppet when I was younger. But I would sum it up: low emotional IQ. And what I mean by that is a lot of people think of IQ as knowing the answers to every question, because this is what we've been taught and programmed into this horrible school system that we have, right? And that's how we equate IQ or any IQ. You mentioned IQ, that's what we think of. Emotional IQ as an investor and as a business person and somebody that's trying to build wealth is one of the most important things, because the mistakes I've made, I've rushed into, I've been emotional about it. I didn't have a clear thought about it clearly because I was so frazzled, right, or emotional about it. And that's where every mistake I've made seems to originate from. And once you know what you want, you know why you want it, you've got that whole plan, you've got process and systems, it takes out the emotional side of it, because you know what's going on. You know how to protect yourself. You know what's ahead. You know if you're on track or not on track. And if you're not, you know how to fix it. So it becomes less emotional. So from the mistakes that I've made is rushing into deals, wrong partners. I mean, you name it, I've probably done it in some way or shape and lost a lot of money in the process. And it was all because I had a very low emotional IQ. And by the way, this does take a little bit of time to do, just with regular IQ of having that mindset and understanding why you're emotional and that you should just take a step back and breathe.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice. I mean, it's so easy, like you said, to get caught up and take that step back and not be emotional about things is one of the best decisions in business that you can do. So, what are your goals moving forward? Where are you going to be, let's say, in 5-10 years from now?
Yeah. So, I have a vision for my company and, my two companies. Obviously you've mentioned my podcast, Cashflow Ninja, where I want to take that. So 5 to 10 years, from a vision standpoint and a design standpoint, there's a certain size that I wanted to grow my company to be able to have a certain amount of advisors underneath there. So to give an example, I don't want 60 to 80 people because I have a vision for my company in a way that we want to provide value to others. And I think sometimes when you become too big, there's a lot missing there, and there's a little bit of a drop down of quality that's involved there. So I have a certain size that I have in mind for that, that still allows me to live the life that I envisioned, also be able to do the things that I want to do. So from a podcast standpoint, I'm continually looking how to grow that, and also starting to offer courses and more financial education. So, I've gone from the podcast world to now also putting a ton of video content out. I'm contributing to a couple of other platforms as well. I'll continue to do that. So that's kind of like the big picture goals for myself. I know it's not specific numbers that I have in mind, but I've learned too that it's the quality of life and the basically the lifestyle that you have around it. Because, you know, to be honest, the first year in my company too, I built a prison for myself. And, you know, you have a certain vision and a certain thing that you want to execute on, and you do, but there's variables, and then things change, right? And before you know it, now this rat race that you thought that you were escaping from, you've basically created your own little hamster wheel and own prison. So I don't want to fall into that trap again either.
Cool. One thing actually I wanted to go back on, I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. You mentioned the infinite baking. Can you give us like a, you know, 30 second, 1 minute definition? What is it so my listeners can understand it?
Absolutely. So it's using a very specifically structured dividend paying whole life insurance policy with a mutual insurance company that's not listed on the stock exchanges. Mutual insurance companies, they've been around for 200 years, some of them. So it's very specifically designed insurance policy, which drives the cash value. The cash value is the main focus on that. And the reason why you want to do it is because there's guarantees in it. There's predictability, there's certainty. It never takes back, or it's completely outside of Wall Street. So for instance, my policy during the last financial crisis didn't take a step back. So we continue to grow, and the company that my policy's with still paid dividends, the same dividends, right? So dividends are not guaranteed, but these companies have paid them for over 100 years consecutively. So this is the floor, the solid foundation that you have, the certainty, predictability, because in the financial levers, you have security, you have independence, freedom, and then you have significance. So you got to get security first. This provides that for you. What bumps you up into the next one is you can leverage your cash value. The insurance company will give you a policy loan up to 90% of your cash value at an interest rate to go and utilize to invest in, you know, real estate or whatever business you want to invest in. I've used it to start my podcast. I've used it to expand my business. I've used it for other investments, real estate investments. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And then taking the cash flow from the investments and paying the policy back. So there's an infinite flow between, for instance, a real estate and this insurance policy. Now, I smile when I say that, and especially we just had the tax cuts. What are some of the vehicles that are, again, getting extremely favorable treatment? Insurance and real estate. And that's why the wealthy knows how to dovetail these two asset classes for to maximize every single strong point that they have as well, characteristics, tax-free growth, right? Cash flow, appreciation, equity buildup. And on real estate, you have depreciation too. So when you combine this, $1 in your economy does many, many different jobs simultaneously. And that's really how you get the financial results that take a lot of people 30 to 40 years. You can do it in 10 to 15 years because the same dollar is doing many different things simultaneously.
Cool. So let's transition here. What's your favorite book or a book you're reading right now that you really enjoy?
I would say if you're looking to build wealth and learn about money, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Mr. G. Edward Griffin is a great place to start. Most people don't know what money is. And that's the great thing, by the way, about this whole crypto craze that's going on. It's actually forcing people to ask the question, what is money? Money is a medium of exchange and a representation of value. It's not backed by anything. The book will tell you exactly how the global financial system works. Not the secrets, but how the Federal Reserve was formed. There have been three central banks in the United States. They don't teach you these things in schools for a good reason. As I believe it was Henry Ford that said, if people figured out how the money system works in this country, there'll be a revolution tomorrow. You'll know how the game is played, how the game works, and incorporate those lessons to build your wealth plan and how you approach building and creating wealth. If you don't know the rules of the game, it's very hard to win the game. So you got to figure out what's the game, what are the rules, who's the big players that I can model and follow, and then try to, you know, who is it, Will Ferrell that says play like a champion, or Vince Vaughn, right?
That's good. Cool. So last question, before we wrap up, is what is your definition to creating financial freedom?
Yeah, I think so the levers of the first thing is financial security. You gotta achieve financial security, then financial independence. Financial security is basically you're not going to starve, right? Financial independence is when your cash flow from your investments start to pay basically your basic living expenses. You're economically independent at that stage. Your financial independence. Financial freedom is when we snowball this a little bit and you're starting to live a lifestyle that you've envisioned because you have security, you have independence, and you're scaling and growing it. And once you've achieved that, it becomes fun. You're not going to want to stop with investing. And the next level is significance. I have security, I have independence, I have freedom. Now what? And that's where the legacy comes in and passing it on and mentoring someone else and passing it on to your children.
Cool. Last is, how can our guests get in touch with you?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So if they're interested in the podcast, I think the primary platform is cashflowninja.com. We touched on a ton of different asset classes, how to create income streams in the new economy and the information age. So there's guests on with real estate such as yourself, commodities, gold, silver, oil. We cover paper assets. We cover digital and crypto assets. We cover a wide array of asset classes, also businesses, online businesses, side hustles, and so forth. That's cashflowninja.com. If they want to reach out to me to get more information too about infinite banking and about structuring a wealth plan for them, info@cashflowninja.com. Just let me know that Todd sent you, and we'll take the conversation from there.
Perfect. Well, MC, I really enjoy having you on the show and all the valuable insight you've added. So have a great rest of the day. And I know our guests will have taken a lot from this podcast.
Thank you so much again for having me on.
Well, that was a great interview with MC and the Cash Flow Ninja. So check out his podcast, Cash Flow Ninja. .com. He's got a lot of great content. Interviews a ton of great guests too. Very impressed with his lineup that he's got coming in. So hopefully I get there someday too. So MC, I take the three things that I got from him, from his podcast, and he gave us a lot, really a lot of good stories and what a motivating thing seeing somebody come from another country with, you know, a backpack and come here and really make something out of themselves. That just, to me, speaks volumes. And when you hear those types of stories and then you hear about the people that were born here, that, you know, they make excuses. Everybody makes excuses and people make excuses for them. They say, well, you know, they didn't have anything. Oh, the rich people always have it. And well, that's just not true. If you can be an immigrant coming from another country having nothing and you can make a fortune, it just tells you that it's just an excuse for those who are in the U.S. that aren't making anything out of their lives. So I just motivating to hear what he has to say. So the three things from MC that I took is think long range. You know, don't just think about your lifespan, think about future lifespans and what can you do to build that legacy wealth and continue that growth. So don't just think really short term, and even in your own lifespan, don't think short term. Too many people think about, they want to get rich tomorrow. They want to be wealthy tomorrow. But my question is, if you got rich tomorrow, is that going to really change your life? And you might be shaking your head going, oh yeah, it would. But I can promise you this, if you won the lottery or got rich tomorrow, it's not going to change your life unless you changed it yourself. So just the fact that you have money doesn't change your life. So take the long game approach to gaining money. That's going to be, you know, 10 years, then 20 years, then 30 years, then 50 years, and then next generation. So take the long game. Always think long range. So number two, and I just talked about this, stop being a victim, right? It's not everybody else's fault that you suck. You know? It's not my fault. I surely didn't do it to you. So stop being a victim and go out there and actually get some stuff done, right? If MC could come over from a different country with a backpack, and so many others before him and so many others after him are going to do the same thing, and they're going to make a fortune, what's your excuse? What's anybody's excuse? There just isn't one. And so stop being a victim. Stop playing that role. Once you stop playing that role, good things start to happen. So stop playing the victim role and start taking accountability for your own self and your own actions. And then the last thing is he talked about studying money and learning how that game is played. Learning, you know, what to do with the money and what money really is. And once you can learn that, it can help you actually accumulate money, and it can actually help you accumulate wealth and be prosperous. So learn and study about money. So those are three great key takeaways that I took. Again, go on to his podcast, check him out. It's cashflowninja.com. I love the podcast. I'm a subscriber, and I listen to I would say a good portion of his episodes and just enjoy the content. So anyways, I am Todd Dexheimer with Pillars of Wealth Creation. I am signing out. Go on to you can go onto our webpage, which should be getting active here really soon. It's venturedproperties.com, or you can go to pillarsofwealthcreation.com. Either way, it brings you to the same thing. So pillarsofwealthcreation.com. You can check out what we got going on. You can also listen to podcasts off there or go on to iTunes and or whatever else you listen to. Give us a rating or review and spread the word. Share us out on, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn and wherever you all are on social media. Tell friends about what we're doing. And that's about it. I appreciate you listening. And again, make every day a Saturday. Hey, are you looking to expand and grow your business? Are you looking for that edge, that next step up, that paradigm shift? Well, one of the best ways to get you there is through a mentor or a coach. And today's sponsor, Trevor McGregor, he is the man. He is going to get you to be laser focused, to get you onto that next level. And I know from experience dealing with Trevor, he is a master coach, peak performance coach, well over 10,000 coaching hours, through clients all over the world. And he helps you achieve better health, more wealth and freedom and contribution than you ever thought possible. Have that coach that holds your feet to the fire. Go on to Trevor's website, coachwithtrevor.com. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. And there you can get a free strategy session with Trevor. And you can decide if he's the right fit for you and you're the right fit for him. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. You will not be disappointed.